You know, on Friday night, we have prayer, and we want to encourage you, as many as you can, come on out and join us. We have some intense and awesome, wonderful times together in the Lord, and we were praying for each other Friday night. Little Kenneth was out in the hallway. I said, "Hey, Kenneth, come on in. You can come in, too." And he says, "So what's going on? I saw cars out in the parking lot." He was asking somebody. He said, "Well, we're having a prayer meeting." He says, "Well, am I invited, too?" No. Yeah, of course. So he says, "Come on in." And so, I don't know, I felt like he wanted prayer, and I felt to pray for him. And we all just kind of ganged up on him like we do, and we started praying for him. And he was really opening up and giving God praise. It was awesome to see that. And then he walked out, and I didn't know anything about it, but we didn't even pray for his back. But he had injured his back earlier in the day. And so a little bird told me that his back got healed. Amen. So we're praying something totally different for him, and God heals his back. And I said, "Yeah." And I called him back in. He said, "Yeah, it's totally, all the pain's gone, and it's thank you, Jesus." Isn't God good? Yeah. That way we know he did it, right? All right. Well, we get to do this, and we get to be a part of what God is doing in the earth. And God wants to confirm his word with accompanying signs. Amen. He didn't say chase after signs. He said, "I want to confirm my word," okay? And you'll find yourself in times and situations where he will demonstrate, amen, through a miracle, that he is risen. Amen. And so we need to be open for God to use any one of us that will be available and say, "Here am I, Lord. Use me." Amen. God does use us differently, but God wants us to be ready and on assignment. Amen. So that when the time comes, you may see somebody in Walmart or in the grocery line or wherever that, all of a sudden they wince in pain or something goes on. And pay attention. Sometimes God is saying, "There's your assignment today." And go and pray for that person. And people are very open for prayer most of the time. And often it's through a prayer that you'll then begin to share your testimony or share Jesus with them. And God will demonstrate his love for that person through a healing. And so let's just be open to whatever God wants to do. Today's text is Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. And how many know what this is? Deuteronomy chapter 5. Well, you'll know as soon as you see it, right? Hallelujah. This is the instructions that God gave the people of Israel as they were going to be blessed in the land if they would obey his commandments. "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded, that your days may be long, that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." This, according to Ephesians 6:2, where he elaborates on this a little bit, and he says, you know, this is the commandment with promise. This is the commandment that has a promise attached to it. For what? Two things: long life and happiness. If you will honor your mother and your father, it will abound to blessings in your life of long life and happiness. How many know that God doesn't like it when we disrespect people that he's put in charge of us? It doesn't mean that you might have had perfect parents. Whether your parents were perfect or not, it's beside the point. God says honor them anyways. Honor your mother and your father. And if you do this, I will bless you with long life and happiness. So sometimes we've had maybe rocky relationships with our parents. You know what? It's never too late to say, you know what, I'm going to honor my mother and my father. I'm going to do something for them. I'm going to let them know how much I love and I appreciate them. And how many know sometimes that's how you're going to reach your mom and your dad? Maybe they're not even a follower of Jesus, but because you have honored them and you have demonstrated respect towards them out of the fear of God and because of the love of God that's in your heart, that they're going to see that that's supernatural. There's no way that they should love me or even care about me. And sometimes, you know, moms and dads can be remorseful in later years because they think about the times when they failed their children, or maybe it wasn't all that bad, but sometimes we can beat ourselves up and say, you know, I wish I had done this. I wish I had done this differently and that differently. And, you know, it'd be such a blessing for you or I to go to them and say, you know what, I really appreciate all you did for me. Because, you know, even bad moms and dads tried. Most of them even try, you know, folks. Sometimes it's just they just don't know how. They don't know how. And sometimes generationally, there's never been a model. There's never been a mentor. There's never been someone in their life that has taught them how to be a good mom or a good dad. Are you following? You tracking? And so we've got to have sympathy as well, but we need to honor and respect those who God has put in charge of us on the earth. You know, if we do that, God will honor us. The Lord said, I will honor those who honor me. And we honor God by honoring those who he has put in charge of us in the earth realm. Are you with me? And that's moms and dads. We're talking about today, Mother's Day. We want to be able to remember and honor and bless our mother, because there is a promise that God gives with this. Most mothers deserve to be honored. And you know as well as I do that they have a tremendous responsibility at home. I just mentioned how sometimes it just gets overlooked, all that they do, you know, or it gets taken, you know, sometimes the guy's sitting there with a remote, you know, and she's in there cooking dinner, or you know, she's in there, you know, throwing laundry around, and you're in front of the TV and just, you know, and it's just sometimes it can be overlooked or forgotten. And how many know this is even a good idea to help your wife? Say amen, ladies. Amen. Yeah. All right. I heard a guy say amen, too. That's all right. We'll have a talk later, bro. But, you know, a good mother has a big impact on their children, you know. And I know that my mom has really had an impact in my life. And, you know, it's good for us, folks, to remember the good things about people. We've all made mistakes. And don't dwell on the bad things. Dwell on the good things, amen, that people have done in your life. I think about some of the relationships that I've had in the past that are no longer. And yet, you know, if you sit down and you think about it, there's a lot of good that was there, too. And there's good in those people, and they've done good things. And I have a choice. I can sit there and dwell on the negative things they did to me, or I can think about the good things they did and change my perspective about them and start loving on them and start praying for them and start blessing them instead of cursing them. Amen? And turn that thing around, because God wants us to be healed, and he doesn't want us to be swallowing that poison that we think is going to kill somebody else, you know, as you've heard it said. Remember when RJ was here, he made a comment. He said, the man is the head of the woman, but the woman is the head of the home. You know, that's very true. That's really a proper perspective. It doesn't mean that she's the head of the man, but she's the head of the home. Amen? You mess with the home, you're messing with mom, right? If mama ain't happy, right? So you want to make sure you keep mama happy, right? You want harmony in the home, right? So think about your wife. You know, appreciate her, guys. You know, tell her how much you love her, and demonstrate that to her as well. So Jesus says, now you got to live up to what you just preached. So yeah. Someone else said this: the man may be the head of the home, but the wife or mother is the heart. I think that's a good way to look at it too. Abraham Lincoln said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. No man is poor who has a godly mother. I mean, you know that he was born poor, right? But he had a godly mother, and she made him rich. Amen? How many know true riches are the riches of the Lord? Amen? Amen? The impartation of his grace in our lives, his goodness. Father God, we thank you for this, and I pray in Jesus' name that you'd open our understanding today. Sow your word into our hearts with understanding in the name of Jesus. Amen. Proverbs 22:6, this is a life verse, and it's train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We're given instructions as parents. How many know that our children are given to us really on loan, in a sense, that all souls belong to God. So we've been given a stewardship with our children. And we are to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We are to raise them in the ways of God. Amen? And instruct them and teach them. And folks, you can't depend upon the school system to raise your children. Amen? And certainly not solely upon the church and Sunday school. Amen? It's the parents' responsibility to disciple their children, to teach them, to read the Word of God to them, amen, to model, amen, what it is to be a follower of Jesus. And so we can't afford to turn this training of our kids over to the system, because the system is not your friend. We don't have time to get into that today, but we're here to talk about Jesus. How many of you know that's better? Amen? But God wants us to deposit the right things into our children. And so we need to ask the question, you know, what are we depositing in our kids? You know, how many have discovered that there are things that you deposited in your kids? Some of you have grown kids, most probably here, have realized that there were some really good things that you had deposited in them that later, you know, began to bear fruit in their life. I remember that one time. But we also remember sometimes the things, the bad things that we sowed into them that maybe we didn't mean to, but we did. How many hate it when you see your kids doing the same thing you used to do? Yeah. We want to learn as quickly as possible and get wise, amen, and start to shift the way that we're sowing into our children's lives. Galatians 6 and 7 says, you know, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap, right? It's a true life statement. So you're either going to sow life or death, but the choice is up to you and I. Proverbs 18:21, how many know this? It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit, right? How many have discovered that not only do sticks and stones break your bones, but words hurt you too? Sticks and stones may break my bones, you know, when we were kids, but it was the words that hurt more than the sticks and stones sometimes. They're cutting, and yet words can also build up. Words can impart life, right? They're health to you. The Word of God is health to your entire being, including your body. The Word of God is pure, and it's life. It's living, amen? When God speaks, it is pregnant with life, amen, because He is life. When His Word is actually an expression of who He is, when God speaks into your life, you're receiving the very essence of who He is, God, amen, the living God. So we speak life over our children. We impart life as we speak to them, as we teach them, amen, as they're rising up and laying down and coming and going. And you know, we need to be very careful that we are sowing the right things, because we all want to see good fruit in our children's lives. And not only our children, but in one another, amen. Be careful what you say. Guard your lips. Guard your mouth. I say, Lord, even when I get up to preach, and occasionally I forget to do this, but most of the time I say, Lord, put a guard on my lips that I will say nothing destructive or foolish. I'm still working on the foolish part. But nothing that will hurt, you know, but only that which will build up. And let me just say this, folks. Sometimes the word of the Lord tears down first. Sometimes you have to tear down before you can build up. You can't put a patch on an old garment. Amen? God is in transformation. And sometimes His Word is like a hammer. Are you with me? And it crushes and it breaks. The reason why is because He's a master potter. And He sends forth His Word, sometimes even a word of judgment, but to break so that what? He can reform that which was broken. Because if you're being raised or you're grown up in a marred state, which we all are naturally, we're marred, God has to break that mold. And that's painful. And unfortunately, sometimes people get upset, and I don't want to hear that, and they go somewhere else where they're only trying to building up, yet they're not breaking down the areas in their lives that need to be broken down first. Are you with me? And there's a balance to this. You don't want to constantly be browbeating people, but there's times when there's an admonition. There's a time when there needs to be a correction. We need to hear that because it's good for us. If we don't realize that we need help, we're not going to seek help. It's the Word of God that reveals that we are in need of His help. So we come to Him for grace. Amen? You don't give grace until a person really knows that they have need of grace. And so the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law causes us to realize that I am guilty before God. I have broken His laws and I am condemned by the Word of God. And yet God says, if you will come to me, if you will confess your sin, the sacrifice, amen, has been made. The sacrifice lamb was Jesus Christ. He, amen, paid for sin, hallelujah, in full at the cross. If you become aware of your sinfulness, now there's hope because you can then turn away from yourself and your own efforts to live clean and turn to the only one who can make you clean and keep you clean. None of us are perfect. Mothers are not perfect. But mothers, you know this, it's very important that you're sowing the right things into your children. And this is for all of us today, folks. So what are some good things we talked about? What are some good things to sow? The Word, right? First of all, the Word of God, which is truth. What is truth? Truth is what's real. Truth is authentic, right? Truth is what's really real. So if you know truth, when the lie comes, you'll be able to identify it. That's not truth. I know truth, and therefore, when the lie comes, I'm not going to bow to it. The problem is we have a lack of truth. Amen? Because we have a lack of knowledge. My people perish for a lack of knowledge of God and His ways. So without the truth, we're just looking at everything that feels good, that looks good, that comes away, that everybody else is doing. And it looks good and it draws us into problems, amen? Into deeper depression and darkness and bondage of addictions and all kinds of things that the lie draws us into. But the truth shall set you free. The truth will make you free and keep you free. Once you know what is true, what is real, what is authentic, why would you want the counterfeit? Why would you want anything false anymore? That's why we must receive the Word of God. Amen? We must receive it. We must meditate on it, think on it, speak it, live it. Because the Word of God is a light, amen, unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. The Word of God is pure. The Word of God, amen, is forever settled in heaven. The entrance of His Word brings light. Light drives out darkness. It's in the areas where we lack light, where darkness can abide. That's why it's so important that we're sowing into our children's. Why? Because our children are born in rebellion. We were all born in rebellion. Amen? The first time they figure out how to manipulate mom and dad, they're going to work it. You know what I'm saying? And so we've got to just, right away, we've got to start sowing truth into our children. And sometimes, again, without breaking their spirit, we have to bring the rod of correction, amen? As they say, the board of education to the what? Seat of understanding. Amen? So that they will understand that there are consequences for doing wrong things. Because if people don't understand, are you hearing me? That there are consequences for wrong things because there's no discipline, then they go deeper and deeper into wrong things and they grow up doing wrong things and causing problems not only for themselves, but everybody else that they influence. And generationally, we are now seeing the results of generations of dysfunction. Are you with me? Broken families. The broken down of authority and respect and honor for authority. And God says, if you want to be happy, if you want to live long, honor your mother, honor your father, honor those in authority in your life. You know, every one of us have had seeds sown into our hearts. And they have a strong influence on our lives. And again, the good news is that God is in the restoration business. So if we're just looking at what's broken, if we're just looking at the mess, the good news is that God wants to fix you. God wants to heal you. God wants to set you free and deliver you. God wants you to be free from your past, free from your guilt, free from your shame, free from your condemnation. God wants to restore you completely. God wants you to walk in liberty and happiness and joy and peace and righteousness. Amen? And He made that possible because of the cross. Thank God for that. And He's working in all of us. So if you're here today and say, man, I'm a piece of work. Well, we're all a piece of work. Say amen. Amen. Of course, often I speak of Timothy, you know, and during Mother's Day, because Timothy was a young man that grew up having a godly, there's no mention of his father, but there's mention of his grandmother and his mother having a great impact in his life. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, it says, when I call, Paul was saying, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded is in you also. What is he talking about? He's talking about an impartation through generations. Amen? The grandmother to the mother, the mother to the son. And he says, I trust this also in you. Godly mothers, amen, cannot be replaced. You may be poor physically, but you can be rich spiritually, amen, if you have a godly mother. And again, moms, remember, it's not the school system's responsibility, right? Or the Sunday school. We can help, but we can't do everything. Truth is what keeps people free. Truth is what will help your children the most. Truth is this roadmap that helps us reach our destiny in the Lord. Another thing that's good to sow, of course, is faith. Faith has to be demonstrated in the way that we live our lives before our children. Amen? Our children are going to see all the faults. They're going to see the good, the bad, the ugly. They're going to see everything. But what they need to see in the midst of all of this is that you are a pursuer of truth. Amen? And that you demonstrate true faith in God before your children. Your children need to see you, amen, when you find yourself in trouble or in a problem or having a financial matter or a disagreement or whatever it is. They need to see you tapping into God's resources and putting your faith and your trust in God, who is able to supply all of your needs, instead of looking at the problem and complaining and worrying, because you know that's also influencing your children. The way we model, the way we live, is going to influence them positively or negatively. So they need to see that we are putting our faith and our trust in God. We're not going to look at the situation and judge it by what it appears to be. We're not going to judge by how it feels. We're going to look at God and say, but God, you are the answer. You always are the answer. All I got to do is trust you. All I got to do is call upon you and wait on your timing and listen to the instructions that you give me. Because often God will just give you an instruction and say, now do this. And once you do that, then I'll give you some further instruction. Amen? That's what he did with Elijah, right? One step at a time. Sowing love. We need to sow love and compassion, especially for others, you know? Love and compassion for others, not being self-serving, you know, teaching our children to give, teaching our children to do for others. You know, it's easy to spoil our kids, you know, and to give them everything they want. But the best thing we can impart to them is a heart of giving, a heart of loving. Amen. That they will learn also to be a blessing to people that are around them. Sowing responsibility. A strong work ethic. We know it's important that we train our and demonstrate to our children what hard work looks like. Amen? How many know that God wants His people to work hard? Yeah. Why? Work is not supposed to be a drudgery. Work is not supposed to be something that you loathe. Work is actually good for us. And we should be able to find contentment in whatever we're doing. You know, the Apostle Paul said that I've learned that in whatever state I'm in, to be content. You know, to find contentment in wherever you're at in life, whatever your lot is. If you got little or much, you know, just to find contentment in Him, in the Lord, and where you're at. And say, hey, I got clothing. Hallelujah. I get to go home and eat today. Praise God. Amen. Food and clothing. Jesus said, be thankful for those things. Amen. Demonstrate that thankfulness in small things, even to your children, you know. How come I got a little piece of cake? I mean, that's, you know, children are that way. They're born that way. How come you get to be first? Well, sometimes we grow up that way. Amen. We're doing adult things like that, right? How come they got promoted ahead of me? So we want to demonstrate through the way that we live and the way that we walk what it is, you know, what God is like. Sometimes, folks, you're the only God your children are going to see as they're growing up. This is very true, especially for fathers, you know. But your children are going to base their knowledge or their perception of who God is upon how you demonstrate or model it to them as being, in a sense, their God of the home. We don't take God's place, but we are to model godliness to our children so that they will know what God is like through our example. Amen? If we're overbearing and we're cruel or we're mean or we're demanding, you know, or if we're the flip-flop of that, where we're just too permissive about everything with our children. Amen? And we're not protecting them. We need to have a godly balance based upon truth, based upon what is real, and not what society dictates to us. Or are these experts, psychologists, psychiatrists will tell you. Are you hearing me? If the psychiatrist and the psychologist doesn't line up with the Word of God, and some of them do, but if they don't, you need to scrap it, because you don't be wise in your own understanding. It always leads to more problems. Yep. I would never send anyone to a secular psychiatrist. Amen? You need to get to the number one, amen, psychiatrist, Jesus Christ, and His Word, hallelujah, that can heal, that can bring wisdom, can bring light. Hallelujah. The biggest problem we have is a battle for truth. Amen? What's true and what's not? What are we believing and what are we not, you know, what are we not believing? Sometimes it's because we're just believing the wrong thing that we have the problems we do. And we can go and we can talk to people. And, you know, people can tell you, you know, you can dig up all the trash from yesterday and put it up on the table and say, yeah, that's pretty nasty. It was a bad life. It's a nasty life. But what are you going to do with it right there? As soon as you walk out the door, it goes right back into the deposit, you know? Come on. What God does, amen, is He roots that stuff out and He throws it away. He gets rid of it. He cleanses the house. Amen? He purifies the house. He delivers us from demons. Kick them boys out. Amen? I suggest to you that some people, I'm not saying every case, but some cases, there's people, they're taking medications when they've got demonic problems, and those medications are just destroying their mind, amen, and their body in general, and there's not going to help them except to a certain point, because the enemy can't use you if your mind's all messed up. That's the way the enemy, you know, the enemy doesn't want people stoned out. People that are in the occult world and witchcraft, he doesn't want them all stoned out. He preferred to have somebody who is sober-minded and willfully obeying Him and cooperating with Him. Why? The devil is just trying to possess somebody. But God says, I want to possess you. I want to fill you with all of me. I want to heal you of your past and of your hurts and of your problems, of your pain. Amen? And moms, dads, we're sowing something into our children, and what we sow today eventually is going to reap a harvest. And I want to tell you today that I have made mistakes in my own life. I've sown some things that I regret. I wasn't always a believer in walking with Jesus. I lived a nasty life before, but God got a hold of me, and God has been cleaning me up. God has been setting me free. God has turned things around. People would never realize, they never believe if I tell them how I used to live compared to where I am now today, by the grace of God, and not anything I did, except to say, okay, Lord, I'm ready to cooperate. That's all you got to do is say, Lord, I'm ready to cooperate now. I repent. I'm doing it your way. I don't care if it doesn't feel good. If it doesn't feel good, I'm still going to do it your way. Now, sometimes you have to feel bad before you can feel good. Amen? If you're trying to deal with an addiction, you got to feel bad first sometimes. And most importantly, I think we can sow into our children an example of integrity. You know, being honest, dependable, faithful, you know, diligent. We can sow into our children the example of perseverance. When we're going through a hard time, we're not going to run to the bottle, amen? We're not going to run to the secular authorities. We're going to run to Jesus and say, Lord, it's at the altar. It's in your presence where all the answers are. I believe my God is that big, folks. I don't apologize. My God is that big that He can take care of any problem I've got. If you don't believe He's that big, He won't be that big for you. But if you know who He is and you begin to trust Him for who He is, God can break any shackle, any chain, any problem. He can provide for you where there didn't seem to be any way for it to be possible. He can turn it around. He can heal any relationship. There has to be cooperation. Mothers, never give up on your family. Psalms 126:5 says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed, this is good seed, the seed of the word, amen, for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Harvest will come. Keep on sowing in the Spirit. Amen? Keep on sowing in the Holy Spirit. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Hallelujah. Don't give up on your children. Keep praying for them. Keep persevering. Amen? My mom never gave up on us. A lot of people did, but my mom didn't. Thank God for that. Thank God for praying mothers. Moms, your prayers are effective. Keep on, keep on, keeping on. Amen? You'll make them so miserable. I mean, I even tried to do some stuff then. It must have been an angel getting in the way or something because mom was praying. Stop it! You're messing up my sinful life here. Yeah. Thank God for moms who pray. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Don't give up on your children. Doesn't matter if you've got adult children, don't give up on them. Because we're seeing them come in. People are coming in, amen, sometimes in their 70s and 80s, but they're still coming in. And you know why? Because someone had sowed in prayer. Because there was a praying mom or grandmother or somebody in their life. How many know that it was because somebody had sowed into your life that you're here today? Somebody had been praying for you. Somebody had sown a seed of life into you. Somebody had shared the gospel with you. Amen? And because of that, you're here today. Hallelujah. Let us not be weary. Keep it up. Keep on sowing. A farmer doesn't go out, you know, throw the seed and the next day come out, well, there ain't nothing happening. There probably ain't going to nothing grow. Come on, we got to be with it, right? We got to stick with it. Now, there's some instructions to older women and younger mothers in the church. This is from Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. The older women, listen, this is instructions for the older women. Likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish, even correct, the young women, and to love their husbands, to love their children. How many know there's a place for older ladies in the church? Amen? To sow into the younger ladies, the younger mothers. Okay, and then it says to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands. Ah! This is the word of God. Well, we're going to get men. Listen, ladies, Father's Day is coming, so they're going to get it, all right? All right. Husbands, love your wives as Christ did. Amen. He sacrificed, he gave for his wife, for his bride, his church. All right. That the word of God, listen, may not be blasphemed. When we just say, I'm going to do it my way because I happen to believe this way, we blaspheme. And we cause problems. If you feel you failed as a mother, remember this. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. God is able to make how much? All grace abound to you. Always having all sufficiency in all things. May have an abundance for every good work. So here's our God, amen. If you are lacking in wisdom or whatever it is, God is the answer. He's got all that you have need of and more than enough. He's an overflowing God, amen. David said, my cup runneth over. He's a running over God, amen. He doesn't skimp if we come to him when we're hungry. The Lord is the supplier of grace for the great task you've been given. And you just lean on him. You just trust him. You draw from his provision. And again, choose your seed carefully. Choose your words carefully. What your plan is going to grow. You know, unfortunately, folks, I think in our day and age, too much emphasis has been placed upon prosperity, physical prosperity, and giving our kids everything that we didn't have or everything we think they should have. Are you with me? And we've compromised in the most important areas. And that is, you know, in sowing into them, imparting into them godliness and godly virtues. Are you with me? Sowing the word of God into our children. And you know what? I heard Mario Murillo say this years ago. He said, I'd rather have I'd be living in a small apartment with my children sitting on my lap than having, you know, a big mansion with my kids going to hell. And I think he's absolutely right. Amen. You know what? It's very important that we find, you know, what's really valuable, what's really important in life. And we make sure that the number one thing is that my children are being taught. They're being trained. Amen. They're being raised in the way of God. And that's something that is eternal. That lasts forever. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And one more thing, I'd just like to finish with this today, folks. And this is something I share every Mother's Day. My mother once gave me a booklet, and it was entitled A Mother's Love. And in it contained a section where my mother filled in the blanks. And here are a few things she wrote. Number one, a message I gave my children often. And if you know Bruce and I, you'll know why she said this. Behave yourself. Be a good boy. Number two, something I wish I told them. Your father and I are glad we had you. We're glad we had you. The best advice I gave my children. Make the world a better place for others. Make the world a better place for others. And then fourthly, the most valuable thing I gave my children, Christ. Yeah. Awesome, huh? Awesome. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. My brother and I have had a very dark past. However, the seed had been sown early in our lives. And because of that seed, and because of the prayers, and because others that had come along and had watered, we're here today, amen, and we're free in the Lord. We're redeemed. We're serving Him. We're loving Him. We're enjoying Him. It's never too late to start. Because our God is able to make all grace abound. Amen? Enough. Keep praying. Amen? Storm in heaven every day for your children. And the time will come when they'll be like some of us that said, okay, I give up. I quit. I quit running. Aren't you glad that God is on a relentless pursuit of you and I? He pursues us and He pursues us and He pursues us. And in our stubbornness, He has to bring us to the place where we're broken. So now He can mold us and make us into a vessel of honor. Amen. That will contain His glory and that He will demonstrate His goodness through. That's you. That's me. Father God, we just thank You for Your awesome presence, for Your truth that sets us free, keeps us free, for Your love, Your great awesome love for us, that while we were still sinners, yet in sin, Christ died. And the greatest gift of all, the gift of Your Son. Lord, we thank You that You have come to us, that Your love has broke through the veil of our hearts, that You've touched us. And You've changed us. And the joy that floods our souls because of You. We want more of You, Lord. We want You to consume us, to saturate us with Yourself. We want You to bless and keep each one that's here. Lord, those who weren't able to be here today that are part of this, we just pray in Jesus' name that the Lord will bless and keep and cause His face to shine upon each one here. Be gracious to everyone here, Lord. Lift up the light of Your countenance. Smile upon each one, Lord. And may our lives and may our days be filled with shalom, the peace of the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Decree that. Declare that over your family, over yourself. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. That's the end of Psalms 23. All the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah.